Tonight's recap of the first Celebrity Big Brother eviction is sponsored by SeatGeek. SeatGeek has a great offer for our listeners. $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase when you use the promo code ROB. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to go, and that's with SeatGeek, because it's the smartest and easiest way to get tickets for every type of live event, whether you're searching for the last minute deal, planning a big night out, or need to find the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats and the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek is going to get you closer to the action for great value. Whether you're trying to track down Sugar Ray and Mark McGrath, or if even James Maslow goes back on tour, SeatGeek is going to help you be there. SeatGeek is designed to help you make your buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, not just some type of tickets, from sports to concerts and theater. They've got all sorts of responsibilities working for you. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code ROB today. That's promo code ROB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is renaming himself, rebranding to Selfie Star. I am Rob Cisternino. Everybody, welcome back to our Big Brother first eviction update of Celebrity Big Brother. And we got a lot to talk about here in 2 hours of this amazing season. I love Celebrity Big Brother. It's better than real Big Brother. I'm loving it so much. So much to talk about here, from everything that went on the show. And also we'll get into everything that went on during the day today as well on Celebrity Big Brother. Okay. Welcome in a man who is so excited tonight to see James Maslow stay in the house, even if it was at the expense of his beloved Chuck Liddell. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm very glad that our selfie star is still in the house, of course.
Yes, yes. And the man who has gone out tonight and already picked up the new single from James Maslow, Brent. Welcome up, Brent. How are you?
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen. I was actually shocked when he hadn't previously tried to shout out some things. James Maslow, I'm talking about. Rob, this show was so long that Taryn Armstrong actually got to voting age. It was that long, I'm telling you. So okay. I was glad to see it.
All right. Well, so excited to hear from you guys tonight about all of this stuff, and a really epic first eviction for Celebrity Big Brother. Really fun stuff. A week one blindside. What more could you ask for? I mean, this season is, you know, sometimes we get an exciting start to the season and then it peters out. I don't think there's enough time in the season for this to peter out. So really a lot of momentum right now. So we'll talk about it all. Of course, we are standing by to take your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP. Plus, we'll get into the spoilers and everything else from the live feeds as we talk about this. But our top story at this hour, Chuck Liddell, the first boot from Celebrity Big Brother. And Brent, it was a 11th hour flip. Ultimately, last night, it did not look that great for James. And basically, 24 hours later, James is still here. Chuck is gone.
Yes, and some of the things that I previously referred to on this podcast with Omarosa flat out telling Shannon that she relationship with Keisha went beyond just an alliance, that it was cultural, that she would not ever put her up, that if it got down to the two of them and Shannon would have to be the one to put up Keisha or Victor, Omarosa would never ever do it. And I feel like that those seedlings of conversations eventually sprouted into full-blown paranoia for Shannon and Elizabeth, and that's how we ended up where we are tonight.
Yeah. Taryn, and you guys did a great job summing this up, you and John Krause, on the morning update this morning, talking about the potential rift that was going on with the Omarosa and Keisha side of the house and some of the reservations that the other side of the house had about going against them. So I had a big question that I would love to get your opinion on here, Taryn. In terms of the Big Brother strategy, who was right here in terms of the move for this women's alliance? Should Shannon have used the veto? Was that a strategically smart move for them to make? Because Omarosa, I thought, was making some good points about this being an abbreviated season. We have to strike first. There's nowhere to hide in this game. Maybe we should be being more aggressive. But I also felt like the Ross side was making some compelling points too. What does this do for us to end up putting some fear into Mark McGrath?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much point to it. Unless they're going to take Mark out, there's not really much point to putting him on the block. It really was something that they had designed just because they liked Chuck and they wanted to make Chuck feel good. But he felt fine anyway. They didn't need to save him from the block to make him feel like, oh, I'll go to you, because he had nobody else. I mean, Shannon was right to feel like, why am I doing this? Why am I pissing Mark off when I don't have to? If anything, it was the benefit of the move for Omarosa and Keisha was that it gets Shannon to piss Mark off, and get Mark to kind of go against Shannon. But it also backfires on them a little bit. So, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of it to begin with. And I think that Shannon was probably in the right here.
Brent, what'd you think about the wisdom of the move? Did you like it, or did you think it was an overthink?
I thought it was an overthink. And I was also a little bit annoyed with Keisha that she couldn't see Shannon's point of view. I mean, you know, it's one thing if you want to look at the alliance, but you have to acknowledge the fact that Shannon has gone out there and just been an absolute baller for your alliance. Okay. And if you're going to acknowledge that, then you're going to have to see that she feels like her target's this big. So how can I make a member of my alliance, who is very important to me, to winning competitions, how can I make her feel better? I need to acquiesce to what she wants to do. You know, I don't think this her using the veto or not is going to make her target any less. However, she thinks it might. So let's do what Shannon wants to do and make her happy, because we do owe her a little bit. It seemed to me like Keisha was like taking credit for things that she really had nothing to do with. I mean, she got HOH because of some piece of plastic in a bag. And, you know, she named the exact same nominees that Shannon was going to name and that the alliance had decided in the first place. So you have to acknowledge that your alliance, that there are individuals a part of the alliance and that they have feelings too. And considering that Shannon is a very big part of this alliance, I felt like it was incumbent upon Keisha to acknowledge Shannon's concerns here.
Taryn, I thought that Omarosa was making a lot of good points as well tonight when she was getting into everything with Shannon about the, oh, that's not a us thing. That's not an alliance thing. That's a me thing. That's a me thing. However, I would have loved to have just heard those things in the diary room as opposed to have her then saying that to Shannon in front of the group. And I really feel like that Omarosa was a big part of driving the wedge between her conversations with Ross and with Shannon and some other people from different things that we didn't even see on the show. I feel like that Omarosa was probably the driving force behind making her alliance flip against her.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Omarosa felt like she was in power, and how Omarosa seems to operate is that she sows dissension among the ranks. So she got Shannon to be jealous of Keisha.
That's what the word is. That is what the reputation is.
She got Shannon to be jealous of Keisha. She actively like tries to ostracize Ross and make him feel like he's not a part of the group. She tries to make people feel belittled and feel like she is in power and she is the only one they can come to. And when it comes to Shannon, Shannon felt like, well, if Keisha is in the way of my relationship with Omarosa, then I need to take a shot at Keisha. And with Ross, he was like, well, if you're not including me in the group, then I'm going to form my own group. And that's not good for Omarosa.
Yeah.
Although, just to talk a little bit about Ross, I was really freaking annoyed with him tonight.
Why?
Like, okay, Because, Rob, I think Dom said it best from the Dom and Colin show. So you decide you're going to be a part of an alliance based on gender lines, not just based on gender lines, but strictly because of gender lines. And then you're acting all surprised when said gender lines alliance doesn't include you in the first place because you happen to have a penis. It really makes no sense. You decided to put the women in power. You decided, you know what? I want to be with the girls. And it was based strictly on gender. And now you're it's like, quelle surprise. Wow. They're not including me in their final plans. Who could have seen that coming? Like, shut up, sit down. You knew what you were doing when you got into this, and now you want to cry wolf.
I don't think that's fair at all. I feel like, well, like, since when did Ross be like, yeah, I definitely want to be in an all-girl? Like, the girls were in power, and they approached him, and he was like, yeah, I'd like to be with the power. And then normally in an alliance like that, you at least pretend that that person is going to have a shot at breaking in. But Omarosa wasn't even pretending, so he was just like, man, I feel like really she was screwed here.
I felt like he was getting offended over nothing. I felt like she was using shorthand to refer to their alliance as the women. You know, we want the women. Look, I'm just going to be real. As another gay man, I felt like that he was taking offense to nothing because they were including him, but yet by not including him, they were including him saying, you know what, we're going to be at the end. It's going to be the women at the end. But he was a part of, quote, the women.
I thought the line he got offended by was, may the best woman win. I feel like that I could see what you're saying. If it was like, okay, well, the alliance is technically the women, but I think he when may the best woman win, I think was what upset him.
And we know from behind the scenes, we know that Omarosa is planning on taking a shot at Ross. We know that she is planning.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that, though.
But he does, because he's been told that by Shannon.
At this moment in time, I don't feel like he knows that yet.
Like, not only does he know that, but it's not just a choice of words. It's not like woman instead of man. They're actively talking about, like, guys, how great is it going to be that it's going to be the six women in the end, and where it's going to be an all women final? Like, it's very clear. It's been made very clear that Ross is not part of their end game plans.
I'm just very torn about it.
I mean, I understand, the way it was presented on TV,
and the way he's presented,
like he's whiny,
right? The way he's presented it in the diary room many a times, he's used shorthand for, you know, the women. The women are in power. The women want to go to the end, but he's not a woman. So what are you saying if you're saying that? And now, like, when somebody else says, now you're offended by it. So, Rob, I don't know. I feel like the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
I understand what you're saying, that you agree with the sentiment. He has the right idea. But maybe the scene on the couch with Marissa outside when he was talking about how he was really offended by it, that he was being ostracized.
That was a bit much. Yeah,
I thought on both sides. I thought that was a little
and
much.
And I felt like her diary room was a bit much. Like, ostracizing Ross because he's gay. I mean, give me a break. Come on.
It was because he was a man. That was amazing to me. Like, I was thinking, like, these people are so in their heads about public perception that Marissa is now actively questioning the morality of an all-female
women's
alliance
movement that didn't include a man.
Crazy. It's insane to me that we're seeing this on TV.
All right. Let's not get hung up on this. I want to give credit to Omarosa tonight for something, Brent, because I was sitting there glued to the edge of my seat. Oh, my God. Omarosa is about to explode. She took it very well. Took it very calm. I thought we were going to see some throwing stuff around the house. Who switched the vote? No, yeah. Very calm, Omarosa.
I was kind of hoping for a Jessica versus Christmas kind of fight between her and Brandy, a little bit like we got earlier, but there was nothing forthcoming. I really felt like, even though I was on the edge of my seat too, I sort of knew that I felt like this was how it's going to happen. She's not going to give us what we're expecting right now. She's going to, like, it's like Ross said when he was referring to her, like, oh, there's Omarosa. It took a little while for her to come out. Like, she's going to give it to us at a time of her choosing when she wants to in a situation that she feels is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Omarosa to me seems like the kind of person that's going to, like, watch you stab her in the back and just be like, oh, man, I'm taking this calm right now, but just wait because I'm going to unleash on you later. And that may be what we see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point about Omarosa, where I think I forget about her, that she tends to, you know, I don't think she really ever yells. She will, like, make you yell, where she will just, like, talk to you and say, hey, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't know what you're doing. I'm going to, you know, that she will just continue to get you to an 11 and you're screaming and you've lost it. And she is just like, I'm not touching you. What are you? Yeah, you know, that's Omarosa.
I saw someone tweet, and I totally agree with this, like every single thing she says just sounds like she's patronizing you. Mm-hmm. Like she's talking down
not
to
in
you.
In a good way.
And it's just like, I can see how it might infuriate someone.
That's right. That's right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Keisha, because I feel like I was unfair to Keisha coming into the season. I felt like I had said I didn't get why she was cast on the show. I didn't think she was going to bring much to the table. And I have to say, I have to walk that back, because not that she's bringing that much to the table, Brent, but she has been more of a player than I gave her credit for initially.
She's hungry. That's the thing I can say the most about Keisha that I'm the most surprised about. There are varying levels of hungriness in the house, from, you know, Meta World Peace all the way up to Shannon Elizabeth. And I feel like that Keisha Nipolium is probably in the upper echelon of hunger. She wants to win the game. She was happy to be in power. She didn't back away from naming James and Chuck as nominees, even though they had, you know, the women had effectively made a deal with James that if he didn't open his bag, that he wouldn't be in danger. And she was careful about what she said to Chuck when he was talking about why was he on the block. And she didn't say too much, even though she knew that her nominees were likely the same as Shannon. She didn't reveal that to Chuck. So I thought she was been playing a very savvy game at this point. The one thing that I haven't really liked about her is that her relationship with Omarosa, I'm very, very torn, I must tell you, because it wasn't even Keisha, but it was Omarosa who revealed to Shannon that, you know, their relationship goes beyond the alliance, that it's cultural, and that they've decided that they're going to create some black girl magic. However, by doing that, that lets Shannon know that, you know what, you're not a part of this anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for me to blame Shannon, even though I really do want to, because I feel like she's been acting a little crazy in the house. It's very hard to then blame her by her feeling like she's being left out of something, or that there's something that she's not a part of that's going on in the house. So I'm very, very torn about it, I must tell you.
Yeah, Taryn, I definitely feel like that Keisha in the alliance with Omarosa is the beta in the AJ Mass marriage of convenience with Omarosa. There was a lot talked about how they were going to start working with Chuck potentially. Omarosa revealed to Shannon that, oh, you know what? We actually, Keisha did talk to Chuck. That was a question in terms of what they actually talked about. Julie asked about that, and it was an odd deal that Chuck described. He said that the deal was that Keisha agreed she would break the tie in Chuck's favor if it was a tie vote, and in return, Chuck would not put her up. I mean, that's a very specific deal that was constructed, if Chuck had it right.
Yeah, well, the deal in general is just like, if it comes down to a vote, I'll keep you safe, and so, you know, we'll look out for each other. There wasn't really like a solid deal made, but they were planting seeds to start working with Chuck when they needed to use him to take a shot at potentially Shannon or Ross. So there was something there, but it wasn't quite as established as Shannon may have thought.
Because that was a question that came up tonight in terms of, well, should we talk to Chuck about like, if we take him off the block, what will he do with us? And Omarosa and Keisha said, No, you don't talk to him. We'll just take him off the block, Brent, and then hopefully he'll like us. Do you need to talk to the person before you take them off the block?
Yes.
Of the veto? Yeah.
Yes, you want to have, like, Shannon's the one who's controlling the veto. She should want to talk to somebody she's about to save in order to garner a deal. Look, as winner of the power of veto, you're entitled to make a deal with that person. You know what? I'm going to take you off the block, but in return, you can't nominate me and, you know, X my two friends over here or whatever. Anything, you look, obviously it's up to the person who's receiving the deal whether or not they want to hold that end up once they're saved off the block, but she has the right to do that. And for Omarosa and Keisha to say, nah, well, it'll just work itself out, that then made them look shady by saying, oh, well, why wouldn't you want us to talk to Chuck, because it seems like we should want to talk to Chuck. So do you have something going on with Chuck? It's just a lot of games, look, anytime you have this big of an alliance, I give credit to Derek from 16, because, you know, he had that massive alliance and somehow he kept all those people together. But like this big alliance of seven, everybody wants to have side deals. And then the people who are making side deals then get mad at other people for making the same side deals that they're making. Like Shannon's making side deals, and then she's getting mad at Omarosa and Keisha for making side deals of their own. It's just insanity.
Taryn, let's go back and talk Shannon for a little bit, because this has been an ongoing topic of conversation. You were the first person to really call this out about how you felt like overplaying the game too much. We saw her win the veto tonight, breaking a Big Brother record, a 16-letter word of responsibilities, and really an incredible job. Kudos to her. But where do we stand with how hard Shannon is playing?
Well, I feel like Shannon, she had a lot of potential. Like, she could have come into this game being completely under the radar. I think Mark even says at one point in one of the episodes, like, wow, she's not just the American Pie girl. Like, I'm seeing that now. I thought she was one thing, and I'm seeing that she's something else. And she could have played that role while secretly having this competition ability and knowing the game really well and being secretly very devious. But she's very much come out into the forefront and just like taking the game by the horns. And it's, she's almost to a point where she's kind of coming out the other side. And instead of being the under the radar kind of like Netta low key player, she's become the Vanessa. She's beasting competitions.
Crying.
She's crying left and right. And she is like forcing the bending the game to her will, kicking and screaming. Like this is what we saw out of Vanessa. And I think that this move tonight to flip the vote was necessary for her, which was how Vanessa played. Like, her social game would pin her into a corner, and then she'd just like muscle her way through it, either through competitions or through incentivizations. And then she'd somehow wind up on top. So we could still see some potential out of, I almost called her Vanessa, out of Shannon.
Yeah, Taryn, honestly, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I thought for sure we were going to disagree on this. But, you know, you remember back to the cast assessment when I couldn't remember whether or not it was Shannon Elizabeth or Vanessa Russo who I knocked out in the World Series of Poker tournament? There's a reason for that, because they're the same person. Literally, they're
the
same.
Did they cry?
Yeah, I can't remember that, honestly. But they're the same person, and I'm so glad to hear you that, because in Big Brother, I feel like you have to play to your type. And Shannon, she just cannot sit back. She cannot pretend to not be the girl who can spell a 16-letter word in a spelling veto competition. She can't be. She has to be like Vanessa. She has to grab the game by the horns. That's the best way that she knows how to play. And it's not the way I wanted her to play, but having watched her now for, you know, what, 72, 96 hours of live feeds, I feel like this is the best path for her. I really do.
Yeah. Look, I thought Omarosa actually laid out the argument where she said, hey, there is no place to hide. There is no retreat. All you can do in this game is reload. And in her own way, I mean, she's playing this aggressive game that, you know, it's going to go one of two ways for her, Taryn.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see it, you know, because we were talking, Brent and I were talking like before the show started, and we were like, we were talking about like who's going to win HOH, who are they going to nominate? But like, even if somebody wins and it's a boring nomination, because that sometimes happens in Big Brother, like, you know, a big flip happens and then there's just like a week of fallout where we continue on with that flip in the new power structure. But that's only going to last a couple days, and then there's going to be potential to flip again. This is really going to be a breakneck pace.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. Shannon's playing hard. Omarosa is playing hard. But Brent, then here are Ross and Marissa, and they're talking like, oh, we love Shannon, but we can't let her stay here for long. And it's so exciting. And we talked about this, like, even go back to the cast preview. I felt like that the really bad situation for Shannon, I thought, was going to be if the other real super fans, Ross and Marissa, get together and decide, yeah, she's not part of what we're doing.
Yes, and I'm very excited to see it. Obviously, I picked Ross for a reason, number one in the draft. I think that this is right where he wants to be, right in the middle of the house. No one really mad at him. No one really talking about him. Shannon's taking all the firepower for being the mega super fan, the girl who can win all the comps, even though Ross is totally capable of winning many of these Big Brother-esque comps, especially on down the stretch. Nobody really is aware of that or paying attention to that at this point. Marissa as well. I feel like she's totally capable.
Yeah.
Great social game. Really lovely person, and a great goodbye message to Chuck, as we learned tonight. Ross had acknowledged it previously on the feeds, but I was glad to hear confirmation tonight from Julie Chen that all the evicted celebrities are going home, and yet they'll be able to watch the episodes and still vote on the winner of Big Brother, just like in Big Brother 3. So they get to see all the tapes, all the diary rooms, and then they're going to come back and vote on a winner. Yeah. So, you know, really good work by Marissa.
And Big Brother 2 also, same format. Okay, Taryn, I know a lot of people are upset about this, the non-sequestered jury. Is this a deal breaker for you?
No, I mean, like, the, you know, this is much better than a fan vote. So I'm like over the moon. This is great. You know, obviously, they're not going to keep celebrities locked up in sequester in order to be a non-sequestered jury. This is just a different version of the game. And I don't think that's necessarily a terrible thing.
Yeah. Brett, let me ask you this question. In terms of if we had Big Brother 19 played with a non-sequestered jury, do you feel like that Paul would win?
I don't know. Wow. I don't know, because I don't think Cody ever votes for Paul based on his Reddit Ask Me Anything. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I feel like that might he might continue to have
but
some.
Jessica went home. She watched the show. She said at the finale, yeah, Paul should win.
Yeah, but I feel like Jessica always votes for Paul over Josh. If she like if those two were switched, if Cody had gone home and Jessica was the first on the jury, mm-hmm. I feel like that she votes for Paul there, yeah. Even without. But watching the tapes.
If Cody spends all summer, you know, with Jessica, who is pro Paul, I think we might see a different outcome.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. I don't think it's that big a deal. I know some people are upset about it, but I don't know how you're going to really sequester the celebrities. It's one thing when you have these reality star wannabes that are hey. I'm making $700 a week. I'll stay as many weeks as you need me. So I think that for these celebrities, I think it's hard to, keep them there. They want to flee anyway. They're not on TV. They want to get back to their fans. I don't know what choice you were going to have.
Right. And as Tara noted, I'm really actually stunned and surprised and just so happy about the lack of involvement of America in this game. I mean, I thought for sure America would have a vote. There might be an America's nominee.
Well,
America
would be sending...
Well, at least so far,
Brent, have you gotten a chance to play with the Big Brother bot yet?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, Taryn, could you explain the Big Brother bot?
They've got some sort of bot that you can message and it'll tell you things. And it's apparently spit out some funny responses so far.
Yeah, I believe okay. It is a Facebook message bot where you can ask it questions. I think then also that it will also send you messages on its own. I'm like, hey, don't forget to watch Big Brother tonight. So I think you can also vote for things in that way. So we'll see if that ultimately is going to play a role.
This is what I'm getting to. The fact that we had a vote and America wasn't involved. American did have a nominee like in BBOTT. And the fact that if it's 11 people in the house and we know that Julie said it's going to be a final two, then there's going to be 9 people in the jury. America can't vote if there's 9 people on the jury. So America ain't going to be involved that much. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, look, stranger things have happened. So we'll just keep an eye on that as we go along here over the next 2 weeks and change of Celebrity Big Brother. Taryn, James Maslow, he's still here.
Yes, and this is huge for him. I really heard what Ian was saying there on the show where yeah. Surviving this week is huge for James because basically his biggest disadvantage being his personality has been accepted. It's overcome. Like people are like, you know what? We didn't like you very much, but we can use you and we need to keep you in the game. Like he's never again going to be nominated because of his personality, because he annoys people. And he is always going to be a useful tool to anyone that can use him, because now there's a huge war going on. And who is looking at James? Nobody, because it's all about the other people now. And James was just an individual who happened to be saved by a much bigger plan.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people on Twitter, Rob, were really, because I was in an argument with people saying, James had never, he'd never stopped fighting and that he had done some good work. But people are like, look, this none of this was James's doing. And this was two queens fighting for control and had nothing to do with James. What I can say is this, that James at least gave them the opportunity to make this flip happen. And by that, I mean this. He said he wanted to stay in the game. He showed that his word was good. He didn't open the gift bag or try to open the gift bag. And he told Shannon that. I like that he reminded her of that in the speech. And he had a generally good attitude where he didn't take anything too personally. He was nice to everybody, kind to everybody. I mean, I think ultimately they just came to the decision, you know what? He's a nice enough guy. I kind of like having him around. And he seems like I believe him. Like when he made it, and this happened on Life Feed today, so we can talk about this. He made a 4-person deal with Shannon and Marissa and Ross that, there 4 of them are going to go to the end, no side deals, and they're going to fight it out at the end. He said, you know what? And I will save you guys if I ever win the veto or if I have HOH. I believe him. I believe he will stay true to that.
Yep. And for all the James Maslow haters that are out there, here's tonight's long distance dedication.
We kept in the douchey guy. social game, it stinks no lie.
Yes. They kept in the douchey guy, Brent.
Yes, yes. And I mean, like, so cool to watch somebody who was the target basically from the very beginning. I mean, most of the people in the house thought, you know what, we can just get rid of him first. And he's been fighting. Again, I'm not a fan of him necessarily, but he's kind of winning me over because he gives good DRs. He seems to, like, realize what silliness is happening around him.
Yeah.
And he's cool with it. He's here to play the game.
What a night for Team Rob in the Big Brother draft, Taryn.
I couldn't remember who took him, actually. That was the big debate.
That took it. And Andy Herron was tweeting, oh, that I called it. What a douche. That guy is gone. He's back. Ian Terry says he's going to win.
Here's the thing. If this week had been any shorter, if this week had been a day shorter, James would have been gone.
But we say that so much, though. That's so much crunch. That happens. I know, right? I feel like that happens a lot where it's like, you know what, if so much stuff happens the night before, but it's because people know that it's coming up. Like if the eviction had been coming up 2 days ago, I sort of feel like it might have happened the night before then too. Well, don't you, Taryn?
But there were specific events that happened, specifically Keisha and Omarosa's behavior talking to Chuck the way that they did. And it was left to simmer for so long. And that's one of the reasons why having long weeks can be a good thing on regular Big Brother. But I think James is very lucky that this first week of Celebrity Big Brother is nothing like the coming weeks where you've basically got a day to campaign. Because I think he would have been dead in the water.
Taryn, yep. Can you put this in historical context for us in terms of the week one house flips, of course, that you and I talked about in But First, a Big Brother blockumentary about how the house flipped against Boogie and Will and Chilltown to keep Nicole. That was more of a referendum of, hey, we're going to check the power of these guys. In terms of what went on in this house, do you feel like that was the same with Omarosa and with Keisha?
Yeah, it really pretty much was. It really did remind me of the classic, you know, pawn scenario. Then the people in power, they go, they talk to the pawn. They feel like, all right, we're making good deals with the pawn. We're going to keep you safe, pawn. And then the rest of the house goes, wait a minute. We don't want you guys in power. We're going to take the other person. Only I would say Nicole had a lot more control over her fate than James did. I wouldn't even go as far as Brent has. I think that basically anything that James did in the house, anytime he talked to anyone, he was decreasing his chances of staying. Shannon had to, like, very, very detailed lay out the steps. Like, no, don't say that. Say this, make sure you do this. And he would talk to Brandy, and Brandy was like, why are you talking to me? Why are you pretending that you're in charge of this? It was a big mess, but he got through it.
Okay. He got through it and he cleaned it up. And I do say to you that I know that he needed a little bit of coaching on behalf of Shannon, but I'm like, I guess I'm just referring to, like, his speech at the veto meeting. I thought was really nice. I like how he brought up the fact that he did keep his word. These are things that people, like, remember. They're not exactly directly related to the action that then takes place, but they were somewhere in the past that you can pull back and say, you know, I kind of like this guy, and there are elements to him that are positive.
There were also parts of him, you know, like,
you just won't let this go, will you?
This podcast, because they want to know the full picture, and you're not giving them the full picture, because James spent many a day when the feeds came up bemoaning this whole, this game isn't fair, they shouldn't be mad at me.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there are elements to him that were likable enough where they looked at him and said, you know, we can keep him in the house. I guess I gave him credit for being likable enough and not being douchey to the point where they were forced to evict him.
He met the minimum requirement for being used in the game of Big Brother.
All right. First of all, hi to my family and fans. Hope you guys enjoy my new single, Falling.
And here's the thing, though, too. Like, I think he is fantastic on the show. I think he is built for these diary rooms. He is everything that the Big Brother producers have ever wanted out of somebody in the diary room. He knows exactly what to give them. It's like his whole social media persona is specifically hand-designed, handcrafted to be perfect for these diary room sessions, these short little clips. He's bred for it. He really, truly is. So he is giving them exactly what they want. I think that he is coming off very likable on the show. And I think that he is going to succeed in, being a popular character on the show.
Yeah, love him or hate him, he brings a lot more to the show than Chuck Liddell. So in terms of Team TV, we are Team Feeds, and that he is bringing a lot more to it than Chuck Liddell. With all due respect to Chuck Liddell, who was a good sport about everything. I feel like that this was a weirdly structured episode of Big Brother. You had the 2 hours of this episode. I really thought we were going to see the eviction more towards the middle, spend more time on the interview, then go back, get our HOH tonight in the 2 hour episode. But that was not how they decided to do it. It was almost like that they got rid of Chuck at like 9:55. And then we had like, all right, well, Chuck, we ran out of time. So we'll see you later. I guess we'll get to the HOH on Sunday. So Taryn, I thought that was unusual.
Yeah, it really struck me. It hit me the wrong way. This idea that we're getting a 2 hour episode and they still can't find the time to put an HOH competition in there. It was a good episode. There was a lot of good content in there, but it really just, I know Brent felt the same way. It really just started to drag for me. Let's get to the action. And then to end it before there's
what
even
do you
a
mean,
new
let's
HOH.
Get to the action. Did you see that veto competition, Taryn, and all of the celebrities getting messy and even Ari?
Oh my God, this is going inside my mouth. It tastes like gluey, like salty.
Gluey, salty.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's going to be an episode on an eviction episode on Monday. So not only is there a much shorter amount of time to, pack in the nominations and eviction and the veto before Monday, but now we also have to have the HOH competition in there as well. And it just feels like poorly paced.
Yeah.
I thought it was dragging a little bit tonight. I really thought that they could have just moved things a little bit faster. Some of the current events stuff I felt like fell really flat. Like, no one gave a crap about who the hell baby's name is, whatever though, you know what. Like, they wanted to know, was it the Eagles or
Selfie
the Patriots,
star?
Julie?
Yeah.
Eagles or Patriots, Julie? Just tell us that, okay?
Yeah. How about when the house guests were going to have an uprising against Julie Chen about Jay-Z's Grammy nominations?
Yeah, that was so dumb, too, in the way. I mean, like, it was a little bit of a downer. Like, I mean, the question should have been, or the headline should have been, Bruno Mars wins 6 Grammy Awards, like, because then you could celebrate it. But the way they did it with the whole, Jay-Z gets shut out, it was a little bit awkward. Like, so they're applauding for Bruno, but they're happy that Jay-Z got shut out. Right. Like, it wasn't written very well.
Like, they kind of teased it, like, oh, we'll even talk about politics. It's like, okay, Omarosa, so a White House cabinet member, was fired today for allegations of domestic violence. Who do you think it was? A? that would have been something.
Yeah, I kept expecting them to be like, true or false, the White House has issued a statement about the Big Brother house.
Yeah,
that would have been more fun.
True or false, World War III has started. who thinks that a World War III has started? Anybody here? Yeah. So
I thought it went on a little bit too long. I agree with Taryn. Why couldn't they fit in an HOH competition? On the other hand, like Julie said, for those of you who missed it, she kind of like just tagged it in there at the end to the point where we couldn't even remember if she actually said it. But I asked Twitter and they confirmed that the veto is going to be played live on Monday, and there's going to be an eviction on Monday. So we're going to have the veto live on Monday, the veto ceremony on Monday, obviously nominee replacement, and then the eviction all on Monday. So that means HOH nominees on Sunday, veto, eviction, Monday. Things are moving really quick.
It's exciting. It's exciting. We can't complain too much about things that are going on. Let's see. What else from the episode, Taryn? Where else should we go? Let's check. We heard from Ian, Derek, Nicole, and the big meatball Josh here tonight on our very selective winners panel from the Big Brother teens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very fun. I actually thought they all presented themselves well. There was not any awkward or dead air, but I think that has a lot to do with the fact that 3 out of the 4 of them have previously been on the stage and done segments with Julie, so they know how it goes. Josh handled himself very well, and I felt like they all had varying degrees of opinions on who they want to win the game, how they feel like the game's going right now. The one thing they all agreed on, Taryn, was the fact that Shannon was playing really, really hard, but I don't know if they're necessarily in agreement with us that that's the way she's going to have to play if she's going to be true to herself.
Yeah, notable absence with Andy not there, and Steve, of course, also not there. I think that says a lot about who they're looking at for an all-star season, if that ever happens.
Yeah. You know what? Steve said he ain't going to come back anyway, so they can take that invitation and shove it.
Yeah. All right.
Andy should have been there, though.
Well, do you think it was because Andy was so public about saying that James is so douchey? Do you think that was like, oh, we can't have Andy. He's going to come on and kill our star, James Maslow. No,
by the way, Rob, just to quickly bring up, and they were great, but apparently Meta World Peace pulled a Topaz tonight.
Oh, you voted for the wrong person?
Yeah.
He's mad about it too. That counted it the wrong way.
Well, that's on him. He got to the line before Julie was ready. I've got the clip. Here's Meta voting before Julie even asks him what he wants to do.
Maya, would you be my Valentine? Love you, baby. I vote Chuck.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Vote Chuck.
He voted Chuck. Thinking he's voting to keep Chuck because he doesn't let Julie say, who do you vote to evict? This is insanity.
Yeah, it's so funny because this could have, I mean, there were a couple of people disagreeing about how this night should have gone. It could have been like 4-4, 5-3, somewhere in there. And then he could have, I mean, that's in my wildest dreams that happens. But, you know, like, I thought I was beside myself that he was, I couldn't even hear half of what he was saying because they had him muted because Julie was talking. And then when you did hear what he was saying, he said something about a Valentine.
Yeah, his Valentine's to his wife.
Maya, would you be my Valentine? Love you, baby. I vote Chuck.
Thank you.
I was there for 2 weeks.
Taryn, I was hearing during the day that Meta World Peace wasn't even going to vote.
I think he had threatened at some point, like, well, I'm just not gonna vote. And then the feeds cut pretty quickly. And he had a talking to.
What would they do on the live show where it's like, all right, Meta, who do you care? Like, nobody.
I think that's why Julie reacted the way she did, where she was like, you know what? I'm not even going to say
Chuck,
anything.
That's good. Thank you.
Right. That's totally it. Yeah, they're playing with fire there, and they know it. They're like, if there's one person that could go back and recast, this is the one, because he's giving us some funny stuff, but he kind of won't listen to what they are trying to get him to do, and he seems to have a very anti-authority attitude. So, you know, like, if they could just, at this point, they're just praying, like, it's a live show. Oh my God, please vote. Just please vote, and we're good.
Yeah. And he's actively negotiating to be evicted from the house. Like, the conversations he has are insane because he's like, no, you can't take me out 2 weeks from now. You need to take me out this week or else.
Yeah, he's making deals of, all right, here's the deal. I'm on the block and evicted this week, okay? I'll give you whatever you want.
It's not even exaggeration. Those are literally the words that are coming out of his mouth.
And the more he does that, the more they're going to want to keep him in the house.
He's brilliant.
Why in the world would you get rid of him at this point?
Hey, Dr. Will did it.
Yeah. So I thought it was not the best night for Julie as well. We talked about how we had this issue here with Meta World Peace and how the social media or news updates from around the world, that segment didn't really go great. I thought this was a weird line from Julie as well.
Who would have ever believed that an alliance formed on night one would begin to ravel?
Yes, Brent, the alliance for night one, it's raveling before our eyes.
I love you, Julie, but are you stupid? Like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, that doesn't even sound right. Nowhere in the history of my 43 years on this earth have I ever heard the word ravel. Like, maybe raffle. I've heard of a raffle, but not ravel.
Wait, Taryn, Ravel Simone, wasn't she on the Cosby Show with Keisha?
Maybe.
That's so ravel?
I had turned Jeopardy on before Big Brother started, and they mentioned Ravel the composer. Maybe she was watching Jeopardy too.
Who would have ever believed Nobody. That an alliance formed on night one would begin to ravel?
It's just raveling up. It's coming together.
So it's the opposite of unravel. So it's coming together. Is that what she's saying? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Let's get ready to ravel.
Oh man, Big Brother's just—it really nails the vocabulary. This is going in down in the Kaltoru, the Technotronics.
Yeah, why did anybody make the word ravel in the spelling competition?
Well, somebody made Wang.
Wang. Who would have predicted a night one alliance would begin to Wang?
It's number one.
Okay. And then we had a really another great line from the episode. Brent, your girl Brandy, she got into it with Omarosa a little bit, and then she had I never heard this before. I didn't know this was a thing.
I have her shoes on right now, not gonna lie. I'm wearing that bitch's shoes. She's my bitch.
Yeah, I have her shoes on, so she's my bitch.
Yeah, that's not the one I thought you were going to bring up. I thought you were going to bring up the one with the don't play games with me. Don't play video games with me.
Yeah, well, that's from the live feeds. That's from the live. We'll get into that.
Yeah, that was so great. When she and then I thought, did they not show it on the episode?
No, that was from the feeds.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe I must have watched on the phone at the same time.
I'm sure we'll get it on Sunday, but it was from the feed.
No, totally great. It was just great. It was just the way she was like, you know, I play Xbox, and it was like mic drop. Like, it was great. Brandy's giving me she knows why they put her on this show. And I love people that recognize, you know what? I know why I'm here.
Yeah. No, she's been better than expected, Taryn.
Yeah, it definitely. Even game wise, she's in a pretty good spot. Just the fact that both her and Ariadna are in this position where they're basically a dead center in the middle of the Women's Alliance, and you know, Shannon, Ross, and Marissa are pulling them one way, and Keisha and Omarosa were certainly trying to pull them in another way, but they are never going to be the top targets. I definitely foresee, unless Brandy just really blows up, but at the very least, I definitely see Ariadna in this game. Right up until the end.
Yeah.
Rob, did you see Brandy in the diary room voting? First of all, her eyes were like totally bloodshot. I think she was drinking, and then she like tries to go the wrong way when she's leaving the diary room. She tries to go to the camera where like when they're like, you know, no, you're leaving the house, come with us, like that. She tried to go that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been fun. I love this cast. I really we're nitpicking things here and there, but I mean, this was
very fun.
There were so many ways this could have been a real disaster, but the celebrities are into it. It's a short season. We're getting a lot of good gameplay.
You know, something that I didn't bring up previously, which I tweeted about before when they were talking about doing the show. The money's going to the celebs. That's a big deal. Just like on Celebrity Mall, where the celebrities are not playing. They're not playing for charity. They're playing for the money themselves. So $250,000 is going to one of these 11, now 10 celebrities, and they will be awarded that money at the end, which, you know what? None of these people are raking in the bucks. So I feel like that they're here for it.
Yeah. Hey, Taryn, I do think that this is a good template also for how to cast this show. You know, you've got like three or four people in there that really know what they're doing. And then you've got a few people in there that are like really big personalities that are a lot of drama. And there's a few people that really don't know what they're doing that you have to maneuver around. I think that this is a really fun group.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about half the cast is like, there are people who know the game and are hungry and they're playing hard. And then you have the people like a Mark, who's kind of just like personable, hanging around, willing to take whatever scraps he can get. And then you have like the pawns who are just kind of like floating around, waiting for their moment. And then the big personalities. And it's just the right amount of all of those things combining that makes this whole chemistry work. And that's what we need from future casts.
As opposed to Big Brother 19, where you had one person who really knew what they were doing, and then three or four big personalities, and then 13 people who just didn't know what they were doing. That's not the ideal mix.
Yeah.
It's so strange, though, because, you know, one thing, the person who normally cast this, Robin Cass, she did not cast Celebrity Big Brother. The casting director from Dancing with the Stars actually cast this. So that is something you should take into consideration. However, Robin Cass also cast Big Brother Canada, and I almost always love that cast. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like maybe like it's some higher up in CBS that's like knocking out some of her choices, because over in Canada she does great, but then in Big Brother 19 not so much. So I don't know. And I always wonder how would Big Brother 19 have worked out if Paul wasn't there, and that's something we'll never know.
Yeah. Okay. Would have been a more unpredictable train wreck.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions. Scott St. Pierre is pulling your questions from Twitter, hashtag RHAP. Is Elizabeth more like an Audrey or Vanessa? What, that is she getting the Jeff Probst last name treatment, Taryn?
I was like, Elizabeth.
It's like Elizabeth.
It sounds like why
Elizabeth is literally carrying her alliance on her back right now.
You can't use the last name if it can be used as a first name.
Thank you.
As a first
exactly
name. It just doesn't work.
Say. Yes.
never trust a woman with two first names.
If the game had been 3 weeks, Audrey could have won Big Brother 17.
Hey. So. Is that the basis for sequester, Taryn? It's like, what if there was a game that I could win that if it was just really short?
Yeah,
I mean, really concentrated.
Yeah, stranglehold on that game for the first like week and a half. So yeah, I mean, it's not like there's that much difference.
Yeah. This is great. I love it. Think about all of these like terrible Big Brother players, like Devin Bro. He would have been dynamite on Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
It's great. Yeah, all these people are like so milquetoast that can like run the marathon. We need sprinters out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's take some more questions. This is from BB Janie. The celebrities seem like they're having a harder time adapting to the CBB US house than in normal seasons. Agree or disagree? Brent, are you buying this?
No, I'm not buying that at all. It seems like they're doing great. And in fact, I always worried that this wasn't going to be real Big Brother. And then they've got them out there, hanging onto award statues.
It's real.
Yeah, exactly. They're hanging onto award statues. They're crawling through the mud and the water, getting snot blown on them with these noses and whatever. I mean, this is Big Brother at its finest. They're adapting well. The one person who isn't adapting well is Meta, but I don't think he adapts well in any sort of show where he's cut off from the outside world. I really feel like Meta, in evaluating whether or not he was going to go on the show, needed to take a look at himself and say, you know, am I going to be able to do something like that, be away from my family? I think the answer at this point is obviously not.
Taryn, now one thing I've noticed, and I need your watchful eye to confirm this or not. Every time they go to the storage room, I think that they have better food than they have on the normal season. I'm seeing like all of these like Lara bars and all these different, it's like they open the refrigerator. It's like all naked juice in there. Yep. I'm not seeing this stuff when they do that run to Ralph's for these players during their new player season.
Yeah, I saw their almond milk and, it's all there. For sure. And they have an espresso machine. They've got everything. They've got everything they want.
I thought, Brent, they even had nicer chairs for the celebrities to sit on than they have during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, everything about the celebrity house is nice. I'm actually wondering how much this is going to be carried over. I mean, like the espresso machine's already bought and paid for.
Yeah,
exactly. They already bought and paid for this. The espresso machine, so they should definitely just keep it for Big Brother 20. On the other hand, the house guests are liable to break it, so I don't know. We'll see. Yeah,
the ants wanted the espresso machine to stay.
Yeah, they haven't really been invaded by the ants yet. I don't know what that is. I've seen a little bit, but not very much.
I really like that outdoor patio area as well, Taryn.
Yeah, it's different for sure. It's hard for me to be an impartial judge because it just feels so weird to have such a small sliver of the backyard.
Yeah,
feels like Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. And it's such a small area. I'm just like, it's so small. It freaks me out.
What is the reason why they partitioned off the backyard? Is it because they have so many competitions that they're going to be doing rapid fire? Is that what it is?
That's what Julie said on the previous show was they have a cordon or like 2/3 of the backyard blocked off and basically changing at all times. Like a normal Big Brother, they take everything down and put it back up when the competition comes, but they just don't have time to do that right now. So they have a a point in the backyard where the celebrities can't go, where it's just always being, it's always being torn down and built back up again.
Okay. This is from Sean. What I don't get is if Keisha and Omarosa are all about saving Chuck, why were they willing to flip the vote and send him home? Don't get it. Maybe they'll do a buyback. Well, Keisha and Omarosa weren't part of flipping right. the vote. They wanted him to stay.
Yeah, they were not part of it. In fact, they were blindsided by it. They were not involved in the fact that James was going to be staying, although they handled it very well. So, but yeah, they had no hands in the fire on this one.
Taryn, I thought Omarosa gave a note to Chuck Liddell. Did you catch that on the way out?
I did. I was hoping Julie would ask about it. Yeah. I was like, is Omarosa pulling a Dan Giesling right now? Like, is she already working the jury votes?
Read this when you get out of the house.
They do have a pen and paper. And I mean, they can't use it to pass notes back and forth, but I know that Omarosa does have a pen and paper in the house. Like, I don't know if they got a luxury item or what, but... Maybe she gave him something just to read to the outside world. Who knows?
Yeah, I will not be having exit interviews on, interviews. Yeah. Anybody that's doing exit press, that would be a great question to find out of what did Chuck Liddell get from Omarosa on the way out? Let's do one more and then live feeds. Sean wants to know, especially when it goes back and shows the veto, yet there's a live video at the start that shows two nominees sitting on the couch. Clearly, the veto, that's in response to something Brent tweeted. But I think I'm missing the context on that conversation. Dominic says, jury management starts right away this season. How different is it that they can go home and see everything? Can this affect gameplay? I mean, Brent, do you think that this will affect anything or people know who they like from the get-go?
I feel like unless you said something truly horrible about somebody in the diary room, I feel like this isn't going to affect anything. You know, maybe somebody could be offended by something. Maybe Chuck could be offended by, you know, them accusing him of making a deal. If in his heart he feels like he didn't make a deal. By the way, I know what that person is referring to. At the start of the show, James and Chuck were on the block and ultimately they were the final nominees. But what this person doesn't realize is that if the veto had been used, they would have switched those people that were on the chair. They don't want to spoil it for the people who are watching whether or not the veto was or wasn't used. So they always have the pre-nominees, the people who are nominated before the veto, to sit on the chairs. And if it changes, they'll change it when they come back from commercial break.
Okay. All right. Let's get into talking about the spoilers. I mean, stick around. I mean, you've already seen the eviction. You know how it went. We'll talk a little bit more about how we got to this point where the vote flipped around on the live feed update. If you're going to bounce out, if you're that much of a purist, we'll see you on Sunday night after the next episode of Celebrity Big Brother. But let's talk spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah. Okay. Check out my new single, everybody. It's called Spoilers. All right, Taryn, where do we begin to ravel the spoilers?
Well, do you want to go earlier today, or do you want to talk about what happened after
let's talk earlier today. Let's get to this. Let's go in chronological, because I don't know what's been going on since I was fighting with computers after the show tonight.
Well, I talked about this a bit on the update this morning, but the basics of what happened here, you saw the beginnings of it in the episode. Shannon started to get very worried about Keisha and Omarosa being together. She was worried about Chuck having a deal with Keisha, so she went to James. They brought this whole idea together to flip the vote, save James. As Brent mentioned, James, Shannon, Ross, and Marissa, I believe, made a Final Four deal together. And I do believe that James currently plans on honoring that deal, at the very least.
Taryn, did they get to keep the name the Celebrators, or did that die with Chuck tonight?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's celebrating anytime soon.
James should.
The only thing holding them back with this vote flip was their concern about the optics, that the people left out of the vote would be Meta, Omarosa, and Keisha.
Little did they know Meta World Peace was going to vote the wrong way.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Taryn, what do those three people have in common? They're all Democrats or what?
They all worked for Trump.
Omarosa is an independent, I think, now.
Okay, that's true. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, they were concerned about how that would look, regardless of their, you know, stated intentions. And lo and behold, immediately after this vote goes down, Omarosa is talking with Keisha and Mehta, and she is saying, well, those white girls turning on us, and she has been calling people out. Go back to your white girl alliance. It's blown up here.
Okay, that's what's been going on. That's what was going on after the vote.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, tensions are heated, Brent.
Yeah, again, this is, you know, you heard me previously in the podcast say that I was torn, and this is where I'm torn, because Omarosa, if I'm talking to you, like, you know, Rob, you're Omarosa, I'm like, well, you were the one who, you know, openly said to Shannon.
Brent, watch your mouth. Don't forget who you're talking to right now.
Omarosa, I'm just going to talk to Omarosa. You were the one who said to Shannon that you have an unbreakable bond with Keisha, that you could never put her up there, you could never vote her out. That was threatening to Shannon. How can you blame her for that? On the other hand, Shannon, like, there, one person hasn't even been evicted from the house, and you're already worrying about, you know, what happens, like Marissa in the diary room, what happens when it gets down to seven people, and you haven't even evicted one person yet. So this alliance was just, it was so terrible from all sides. I feel like everybody had a little bit of blame. Shannon had some blame, Marissa had some blame, Ross also had some blame, and Omarosa and Keisha. The only person who didn't really have any blame was Mehta. That's because he doesn't know what the hell's going on. But
voting the wrong way,
you know what, they were right to worry about the optics of this, because it does look bad. I'm sorry, when the three people of color happen to be the people that are left out of the vote and targeted, it doesn't look great. But you know what, they knew that going in. They talked to Marissa, said, Shannon, look at this. Optically, it doesn't look good. Shannon's like, I don't care about that, because that's not what I'm thinking. It may not be what you're thinking, but it's how it looks to some people on the outside, especially since February is Black History Month. It's just not a good look. I wish they hadn't done it. It just...
Here's what I would love to hear. Okay. Instead of three white people trying to guess what's going on here, I would love to hear from our listeners.
I said that.
Our listeners, all different people, not just white people. Because to me, I wonder if Omarosa, who has talked about, you know, her reputation and what came from, what were the side effects of her working with President Trump, where I feel like, and especially with Brent, we've talked about how, you know, her feuds with April Lewis and other black journalists, that it has she gone out to the Big Brother house to make a real effort to restore her image, and, you know, and that's why she is pursuing this strategy in the house.
I mean, that's just speculation at this point. Yeah. What I know to be true is that she was loyal to the seven person alliance. However, she was the first person that, at least that I saw, and I know Shannon was making a lot of deals with people, whatever. I'm just sort of ignoring that at this point. Shannon was the first person to make an ironclad deal with somebody else and say, you know what, within the seven, I feel like we need something else. And that's where it always starts. That's where trouble always begins, when you can't just leave well enough alone and you can't even get through one eviction. I mean, Rob, they weren't even through one eviction. But I did say to you and to I think you were doing something else, but I said to Taryn that I don't love the fact that we're coming on a show without with three white guys. I wanted somebody of color, or at least somebody else, maybe even another gender, I wish Melissa was here to speak to this, and how, what are the feelings that are going on in the house right now? How does it look to you as someone who's looking in from the outside? You know, do you have strong feelings about it? Or is it just something that was a little bit happenstance? And even if it is happenstance, can you still acknowledge that it might be a thing to other people?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would love to know the answer to that. Of, had they voted, had the people in the House on one side voted out Chuck Liddell, would anybody have been saying, boy, you know, that looks bad because they didn't vote with the other people in their alliance? You know, the only people that are watching this show are the Big Brother fans. They saw how it all played out. It does not seem as though. So again,
right.
I think it's a stretch, but look, everybody can have their own opinion on this. We did see some fireworks on the live feeds today, though, with Brandy Glanville and Omarosa. Taryn, could you set this up?
Yeah, well, basically, you know, tensions are rising and Omarosa and Brandy got into this argument. I don't remember exactly the something about ironing. But there was a lot of shady boo, shady baby, video games. A large part of the argument was how much Omarosa had been talking with Chuck, and you know, like, why are you guys talking to him so much? Why are we not allowed to talk to him? Like, what's going on here? And Shady Boots, that was
Shady Boots. Yes.
I don't know the correct shady lingo. They were really going back and forth with it. Okay. Let's stop this. This is childish. Let's stop this. Okay, good. Shady Boots.
Yes.
Whoa. So we're not stopping this, huh? No, we're stopping Shady Boots.
Yeah, I'm not saying it. We're stopping it, Shady Boots. Yeah. And then this was the line that Brent was referring to earlier.
Don't try to play me. I'm not Nintendo boo.
Yeah. Don't try to play me. I'm not Nintendo boo. Yeah. And then I have the one with the response from Brandy.
Don't try to play me. I'm not Nintendo boo.
Not Nintendo boo.
Girl, I play Xbox.
That was so great. Oh my God. Just her timing on that and her tone was like, girl, I play Xbox.
Okay, so you like that comeback, Brent? That was good?
Yes, I was tickled by it. I was just like, I literally laughed out loud when I watched this online. I was like, that's so funny. I love Omarosa, but God, that was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, Taryn, is that the right comeback to somebody that say, don't play me, I'm not Nintendo boo?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I certainly couldn't come up with a better comeback. It follows in the same line as the original comment. I think it works.
Yeah. I play Sega Genesis, Omarosa.
Would have dated you a bit, I think.
Okay, so that's good. So Brandy was right on top of it, and so I suspect we will see that on Sunday, where we will get a little bit of a flashback to some of those fireworks. Brent, anything else from the live feeds that you want to discuss?
No, Omarosa is going to try to win HOH, which would just be the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. I really, really am here for that. So yeah. If we could have another stand on a number and Julie tell us the number, that'd be
okay.
Great.
Well, let me revisit this, because I think that, okay, we're in the potential Willie Hant zone now with Omarosa. We've applauded Omarosa, been a great sport so far. But Taryn, if we get to a situation where Omarosa comes up short in the HOH, maybe she's on the block with somebody else. Do you see her playing this through to her eviction?
Like the angry, I'm coming for you?
Is there a chance you could see her walk before we even get to a vote? If it looks like she is a dead person walking.
I probably don't know enough about Omarosa and her history with these shows. She doesn't seem like the type to quit to me. But yeah, these celebrities, who knows?
Yeah, one thing that might stop her from doing that, though, Rob, is that the veto is live. So she'll have a lifeline that's available to her all the way up until the eviction night. So I don't really think she's going to walk in that instance.
Yeah. I wonder how calculated that was. Good idea. Keep those celebrities on the hook.
Pretty smart. Also, I guess is a concern for these people that are in the house where, you know, on a live show, live veto ceremony, if Omarosa feels like that there was bias against her in the house, I'm sure that these celebrities are not going to like that veto speech that Omarosa might pull out, Taryn.
Oh, well, I mean, I think at this point it's probably going to be on the show regardless. In the time since the eviction happened, while we've been talking, Omarosa has gone after Shannon. She had like a very high intensity argument with Shannon. She went after Brandy. She went after Ariadna. And then a house meeting was called. And then the feeds were cut. So there's a lot going on.
I'm a new person.
Oh, boy.
That's the 3 years ago. I would have been making all these deals with people, fighting with everybody. Remember that when the feeds came on and we got the little sneak peek of like, oh, I'm so over all of this catty women fighting. I'm over it. This is our time, Brent. Me too.
Didn't take Marissa long to switch either. Yeah, that, Marissa was the one who was the most reticent to make the flip, and then boy, when she decided to hop on, she hopped on. So I don't know. It just again the best laid plans, Rob. They could have been a contender.
It all just raveled away. All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on?
I think I'm good, Taryn.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good episode. I think that we're in for a good episode between the HOH competition and the arguments happening after. And they're probably going to clean up a little bit of the, like, this is what happened that we didn't have time to cut into the episode previously. So,
the four person deal happened today. And, I feel like that's going to be a big part of the episode on Sunday.
All right. Well, we were having so much fun. This latest update from the feed is a little not exciting news for me.
I think this is Omarosa, you know. Yep. You gotta take the good with the bad, I guess.
Yep, the scorpion. Why did you sting me? This is what I do. Yeah,
I know that fable.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, this was so much fun to talk through. Thanks everybody that stuck around live. More people were showing up throughout the show. What is it? It's almost midnight on the East Coast. Go to bed, you people. You're a bunch of nerds. You're all a bunch of nerds.
Who are the nerds?
Yeah, everyone. Everyone's a nerd. You're spelling and like talking about live feeds. Yeah. All right. What are we? Hashtag Ravel, Taryn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow morning, Taryn is going to be up bright and early. Liana Saturdays are back.
Oh yeah.
All right. So join Taryn and Liana Boris, who you could also catch on. Is that the most recent Taryn show this week with Liana?
It is the most recent one.
Okay, check that all out. Rob has a website.com. 10 a.m. or is it later on the weekend? Is that
10 a.m. across the board?
Okay, 10 a.m. across the board. 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Very good stuff. Of course, Brent, great job, Brent. We saw him two morning updates in a row against all odds.
Yeah, well, like one morning update.
Three
shows with you. That's been the amazing part.
Four shows in three days.
Yes, four shows in 3 days, and I'm glad that I'm. Please tell me I'm not on Sunday show, Taryn. Right? I'm not right. Check. I'm sorry. So. But at least I know I'm not podcasting tomorrow about Big Brother. I know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, great stuff. Follow Brent on Twitter at One Lucky Gay. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre pulling all of your questions. And we will be back live again for Rob Has a Podcast coming up on Sunday night. Join us then. And then again, Monday night as well for Celebrity Big Brother. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.